Did you get in trouble?
Yeah, she mentioned something about me saying how she never listens to the podcast, so I thought that I'd have to record me saying how she never listens to the podcast, how she listened to it, and bitched me out for saying that she never listens to it. Hi, honey.
This is Christian from Metropolis, America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
Good way. If I can make it, then here I'll stay. Ashes and bottle caps, string and timber resting on my lap. Coffee stains in an old book. These pages, I'll take a look. Spent time in my old town. Eager men fighting for the crown. Set fighting in a barren land. Lost faith in the will of man. Northern Lights, I found you in the words you type. In here, no birds sing. I played it again until my ears ring. Sing to the walls, I sing to the night. I squint my eyes in the morning light.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
and Logan.
And tonight we are going to be looking at Shred Kelly's album Scene to the Night, brought to us by Zoe Brown of the Muse Box. And we came in with their title track of the album, Scene to the Night, and we're going to let April take it away.
All right. So just to get formalities out of the way, Shred Kelly is a Canadian group. They've actually been around for a while. This is their third album. I'm not sure what their first two were, but this is their third one. Shred Kelly is made up of Tin Newton, who is on the banjo, the cello banjo, the vocals, guitar, and ukulele.
Whoa.
I know.
I love the ukulele.
Man of many talents. And then you have Ian Page Shiner, who's on the drums, Jordan Vashtart. I'm not sure if that's pronounced right.
Yeah, that's you.
Yep. Sorry, Jordan. Who plays bass, acoustic guitar, and harmonica, which is a skill because I can't. And then Sage McBride on vocals and keyboard, and Ty West on just the guitar. So, pretty good, just average-sized band, five piece. And they're, this particular album, I'm not sure if it's their whole career, but this album in particular was published under John Critchley from Green Door Studios, and he's worked with Elliot Brood, Amelia Curran, The Once, if any of those ring a bell for any of you. And actually this, they've actually gotten a lot of success from this. They've been nominated for multiple awards at the Kootenay, I think it is, 2015 Kootenay Music Awards. They've already won Album of the Year and Best Live Act, and they're also nominated right now for West Coast Music Award Best Music Video.
You know, I was just thinking while we were listening to it that it would be some rocking ass shit if it was live. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah,
it was cool,
it
but
too.
It would have been like way better live, I think.
Yeah.
Have them up there shredding on the
well,
tire.
Yeah, it's just really fast, bouncing, yeah, moving, dancing music, I think, and it just would have been awesome live.
And they have kind of, and this album is already out for those who are interested in purchasing it, and they actually have created kind of their own subgenre of folk called stoke folk. We're not all...
I think it's just faster
yeah,
and,
we
and
just
poppier
think, yeah,
than
yeah,
normal
we just
folk.
Think it means, yeah.
Lively.
like folk music is normally considered slower. I think it is very instrumental with a lot of different instruments.
Well, this one kind of reminded me of Mumford Light.
Yeah, Mumford and Sons.
I like that. Mumford Light. I like that. That's good. I thought I felt I got a lot of Mumford and Sons and even a little bit of Lumineers feel out of
that's
that first
song.
That's
what I put
especially.
Down to. I put Lumineers and Of Monsters and Men.
Of Monsters and Men, yeah. I could see, yeah.
So they're a very good hipster indie type band. They're one of their pictures proves it, you know.
She loves this picture so much.
With them standing at different angles, and then who I can only assume is Sage screaming or yelling or something.
They got the Goodwill clothes on.
Yep. Which doesn't mean you look bad.
No, that's style.
I had a girlfriend in high school that absolutely refused to shop at a store that somebody hadn't already worn the clothes before. So
no way. To me, it's like here at the budget shop, like mom will bring stuff home, or sometimes when I'm there, like I'll see some stuff and I'm like, well, that don't look too bad. I'll wear that.
Just to break in real fast, their previous two albums was In the Hills and Goodbye July. Just to let everybody know if they're interested.
I swear, I don't know why, but I swear I've heard the name Shreg Kelly before. Maybe I went past them on YouTube or something. Maybe. I do a lot of YouTube surfing.
We had two posts on the website for two of their
Shred
songs.
Shred Kelly actually.
So it might have been through that as well.
It could have been through that
this
too.
This actually led me to believe that this was a single artist. I thought the name of the person that they like their stage name was Shred Kelly.
Ah, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. So like on the second song, Family.
Oh
yeah, Family, Oh Family. When Sage came in, I was like, oh, okay, this is a group now.
And they have two singers, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love groups that utilize both the male and the female vocal ranges.
Yeah, and they flip it off pretty evenly on who gets what song, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because usually they'll like pick the stronger, quote-unquote, singer and just stick them up all the time. Just give the other singer like little bits.
Like Fleetwood Mac, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, that works for a lot of bands. In some bands, it works better, I think, if they utilize both the ranges.
Yeah.
Helps out.
And so, yeah, so overall, I mean, definitely, yeah, Stoke folk is definitely folk. It's definitely rock folk, too. You know, it's not the really light stuff. But in some places, I got more of a country feel than folk feel, which is different.
They kind of mixed up some of the sound.
With Red
Dirt
and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they had, like, the Back Hills type sound as well, where I think Backwoods Kentucky,
Bluegrass,
you have
that feel with the banjo, where they were plucking the banjo, not just strumming it, but actually.
He also plays a banjo cello, which is super awesome.
Yeah,
I've heard of it, but I've never actually.
I think it's neat.
I think I heard it in there, and I was like, that's different. You know, it's like a deeper but obvious banjo. It's like a harpsichord. You can never mistake it for a piano, but it's kind of.
But beyond that, they're taking it a step farther, which I think is what they're talking about with Stoke, is that they're trying to mix in technology with it. They're trying to put techno,
the electronic music. Yeah, I definitely heard electronic music.
To me, I'm a huge folk fan, so for me, it's a hit or miss on it. You know, like on this first one that we just listened to, Sing to the Night, the entrance to me was really funky. Like spaceshipy, but then once you put the acoustics on top of it, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I definitely was thrown by the kind of intergalactic entrance for their album. Ooh. But you know, and I mean, I think maybe that's because they're trying to break out of the mold of folk.
Shut up, Siri!
Oh my God, Siri's fighting with April again.
And I think what I got was, and when you're at a rock concert, a lot of times they'll come in with that type of sound before they'll come in with their first song. A lot of times they'll just have that.
Yeah, to let them know.
To give you that concert feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't offend me. It didn't bother me. It just threw me a little bit. I was like, what's going on? Oh, that's different. And with that type of intro, you don't expect that type of music
to
follow.
But it was good that they did put what followed the acoustics on it, because I feel like if it had continued on that path, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
Well, yeah, it would have definitely been different music, I think. Mm-hmm.
And it came in as folk.
I didn't even really hear a lot of other electronic, except for in the intros.
The first verse of Sing to the Night was more folkish, and then when they hit the second verse, that's when it sped up, and then you heard a lot more of the electronics in that specific single.
And that's another thing. In a lot of their songs, they do have like... an instrumental, you could say breakdown, an instrumental clash, you know, where you heard in that Sing to the Night, where it's just noise, you know. And that type of music is very tricky to do, because like Mumford and Sons does it a lot, and they do it brilliantly. The thing is, when you have just what sounds like this chaotic cacophony of just noise, you've got to make it fit into the song. You can't have like this pretty little melody going and all of a sudden, bam, you know, without leading into it. And when you're in the middle of it, it can't just sound like noise. It has to go somewhere. It has to transform,
kind of transcend past the just noisy.
It has to have purpose behind the noise.
And do you feel like they successfully did that?
I feel like they did in some spots. The song that I felt it the most that they were really successful at were Eyes Are Open.
Yeah.
You know, because then I could, in the middle of all of the noise that all of that creates, I could hear where it came from, you know, and where it was going. If that makes sense. I talk very abstract with music.
I think I follow you. It's okay.
But what
I kind of liked was, even though they had faster beats and stuff, mm-hmm. the vocals were clear enough that, you know, this was Logan was over here singing picking it up and singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which isn't annoying at all, Logan.
And I don't mind it.
Logan don't care. You do him.
Yep.
I like the fact that I could understand the lyrics immediately and follow them. And I think that added to its curb appeal. I feel like this is the kind of music that, you know, the more I listen to it, the more I would like it. And I did. Mm-hmm. Like, the second time we listened to the first song on the album, I caught it a little bit better. And I liked it more. And I think that's... You know, that's just one of the things about listening to new music is, like, at first, when you're novice, not a professional like April, and I mean, you are a little bit more musically professional. You follow music theory a lot closer than I do, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
And I'm more of a novice, and I'm just like, you know, at first, it just kind of confuses me, and, like, what you're talking about, the noise is kind of not necessarily playing off each other, just mm-hmm. kind of making mm-hmm. a cacophony, and then, you know, and that kind of confuses me, and then, but... You
that's,
know, I
that's
really
when my eyes go blank.
I really felt like, especially the second time listening to that first song, that I really could identify with what they were doing, and it was like, yeah, I, you know, if I gave this music half a chance, I'd probably love it, you know. I definitely liked it from first glance.
Yeah,
and it was,
I definitely like it, and I do get what everyone says about the vocals being really clear, because most of the time the problem is either the vocals are swallowed up or the instrumentals are swallowed up, and they had a really good balance. And mm-hmm. they didn't try to sing over the heavy parts.
Yeah,
like the heavy, which is a big problem in
I think that a lot of
bands.
People make that mistake, and that's, you know, they definitely knew that they had powerful music and powerful lyrics,
and they gave
to impart.
Each opportunity,
yeah, they each need their own,
which is good.
I think that's just good, you know, mm-hmm. music writing is, you know, when you write the parts that are more chorus or just like or mm-hmm. instrumental parts, then you want to have a lot of, you know, crazy stuff going on, and then whenever you want to get the lyrics across, especially the melody, you really want all of the music to drop it. It's good to use the bass guitar, then it's good to use the kick drum, just, you know, background.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use a lot of banjo when you're trying to sing the lyrics. I mean,
exactly. But
even though there was a lot of banjo,
they did use a lot of banjo, and I like the banjo.
I love the banjo. Yeah, I feel like if I had to choose like any string instruments beside like a classical one and all that, like guitar would be cool, but it would like be straight up banjo just because it sounds hella awesome. Like buy me a banjo.
I really like the ukulele. I don't know, it would be a tough choice.
Ukulele always bothered me.
I really like it. I like Hawaiian music, especially from the ukulele. But it works. It's such a, you know, when you hear that instrument, you can play anything on it, and mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. immediately that's a ukulele. It's such a unique instrument.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, to me,
I couldn't.
Like,
I couldn't play it. I can't play a musical instrument to save my life.
Like,
I'm
that would
good
be April.
Singing,
yeah.
That's me.
Yeah,
that
this is like,
you know.
I'm not even good at singing.
This is a pick your, you know, it's just up to, but with the ukulele, it's up to all, like, your taste, because to me, this is such a dorky and simile, but the ukulele is like the flute in the
what's
in
wrong
the strings.
With the flute?
Well, see, that's the thing. To me, it's a lot's wrong with it, but to like flute players or someone who enjoys it, to me, it's the high pitched sharp noise that I'm not a big fan of. But the banjo, even though it's sharp, is a bit lower. High noises in general bother me.
Yeah, I think my dad's like that, actually, because he doesn't like female singers. And I'm like,
what?
But he likes Stevie Nicks.
She's got a lower voice.
She does have a very low voice, and she always has, you know. And he hates, like, he just doesn't like female singers. And after a while thinking about it, I was like, he probably just can't, you know, he's not tuned well to high pitches. Mm-hmm. And he likes male singers because they have lower voices, and he doesn't have to listen to any higher pitches.
Yeah, but yeah, so getting
some of them get up there pretty high.
Well, you know, what's his name? I swear they like so
Which
many.
One?
So many people think he's a girl. I'll think of it in a second. Go ahead, keep going.
But with what we've been talking about, with how they've definitely figured out how to arrange the music and everything to shine on its own, they also need to be careful that it doesn't start getting repetitive. You know, they've figured out
they did pretty good on that.
Yeah, yeah, but they figured out what works, and they've stuck to it a little too close for me. Like. Especially in the vocals and in the color of music, of the music they play.
Well, Geddy Lee. Yes, Geddy Lee. That's who I was thinking. I had to say it. I'm sorry, April. I don't know what you were talking. I was just thinking in my head, and I kept thinking Tom Sawyer. I'm like, I know it's not Tom Sawyer. And so I sang through the song, and once I got far enough away from that lyric, I was like, Geddy Lee. Yes, he has a very high pitched voice.
But
a good voice.
But yeah, so back to my sentence.
Sorry. I'm not mad at you.
But yeah, to me, like on the vocal side, their rhythms are very similar, which you do find in a lot of artists. And in the vocals, on the instrumental side, I mean, the color of their music is a little darker. You know, it's a little heavier. If you think about it in weight. And so I want to see them maybe not change the folky, techno-y sound they have, but maybe just lighten it up a little bit in some songs.
I see what she's saying.
And this next song that we'll put in here right now, it's kind of a little bit of a lighter song.
Yeah.
This is Family, Oh Family, and we'll give a quick listen to that from Shred Kelly.
Wait, and we can see if we can start a life. Save up for the things we need and build a house among the trees and start it right. Oh, I say to you, what are we waiting for? Oh, I say to you, what are we waiting for? Fits into place with jagged you, then we will be full. Oh, I say to you, what are we waiting for? Oh, I say to you, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, 93.9
never have the commercial viability.
But I hate how, to me, 93.9 doesn't tell us enough times who the artist is.
It don't matter.
Whenever you hear a good song, write about a few words.
I talk to Siri.
6 words of it. And then look it up later.
That's what I do. I make Siri make a note of the lyrics. Or if we're in the car actually, it doesn't anymore. But when we had Sirius XM, the free trial.
I also experienced the free trial. That's
not good. It would show up the artist and
the song,
and song, which is awesome. And I would take a picture of that.
That whole situation there feels like a failure of democracy to me. Because it's like they call it Sirius XM. And I just, you know, like at first there was XM radio. You remember this? And it was pay for commercial free radio and, you know, satellite radio. And they could cuss and say whatever they wanted. And it wasn't clear channels. And it was great.
And then Sirius bought it, and now it's just poop.
Sirius, but they do still have some of those channels, like Howard Stern's really popular on there.
Well, yeah, they still have Howard Stern, yeah, and it's still definitely explicit, and you know they can get away with a lot more. It's just the fact that they took the variety straight of it. Well, what they monopolized it.
Yeah, because they're trying to commercialize.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, let's dive back in.
Nothing to do with this band, but there's a little bit about satellite radio for you folks.
But yeah, so that's a good example of what they could play around with. And so if... I'm not saying they should go completely to a light version, but if they just peppered it in through, I'm going to give a shout out to Max Gomez, who's an artist in New Mexico. And he's a little lighter. He's more acoustic than folk, but he still has folk flavors. And his album, Carla, one of my friends, and I bought the CD, and 6-hour trip, we listened to that CD straight through. Over and over and over again, and we weren't sick and tired of it at all because
I doubt I'd get sick and tired of this for 6 hours.
Yes, because the diversity in the sounds, but
they got it.
Richard looks like he disagrees. just any music, right? Enough, anything for 6 hours.
One time through, let's go.
Oh no, I could go, but and so yeah, like. I don't know, when you think of creating an album or even just a small EP...
I don't.
Okay, well, if you do, write this down. you know in the fashion world they have fashion shows. Duh.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And so, and kind of the theory, the formula for a fashion show is to take a journey, but the garments need to be all different. They need to have their own voice, own textures, own stuff, but there has to be a connection between them.
I get that.
Yeah, that's kind of how you want to approach an album.
I believe that,
too. It's a music show for your ears. So you don't have to lose your identity and what makes you, in this case, Shred Kelly, to play around with it.
I think they did pretty good on that.
Yeah, I thought this album was well constructed.
Yeah, for me, I was getting a little heavy. Bogged down as the album went through. Not saying all of the songs are bad, because I liked all of the songs individually, but just if I had to listen to it continuously,
I wouldn't be that bold. I wouldn't say that I absolutely liked all of, but most of them I did like, and the one, and some of them I just think it's the fact that I've never heard them before, and it's really hard for me to interpret and appreciate music until I've heard it at least twice, and I don't know what that is, but I guess it's just because I'm not very musically inclined.
Sometimes it takes you a couple of listens though to really get into a song.
With me, it always does. Yeah,
it does me quite a while too. It does me quite a bit too.
Usually I can know right off the bat whether I'm into it or not.
I can only know if I hate it.
Every now and then I need to.
If I hate it, I'll know right away. But otherwise, sometimes I think I hate it and I realize that I'm just tired.
And for me, there's two types of listen. Listen to the sound of it and listen to the words they're saying.
Like the message?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Logan hit on a very important point. There's some lyrics in this stuff, like, for example, Family, Oh Family. I think those lyrics were very profound and worked very well together.
Yeah,
and
I really do like the songwriting.
It was a good storytelling song. And then, you know, that I think is the most important thing when making vocal music. Because it doesn't matter how pretty your voice is. If you say I 17 times in a row to make a rap, sorry, Nicki Minaj, that I just can't appreciate it. I can't appreciate people that repeat just to repeat, and can't appreciate people that do not care where their lyrics go as long as it sounds good.
Yeah, you could have good lyrics, because there are tons of people that write lyrics for, you know, artists, but that doesn't bother me, but it bothers me when you're given good or bad lyrics and you don't own them. You know, you have to put the emotion into it before they become good lyrics, no matter how it's written, no matter what it says on the paper.
Well, I think that's the other side of it. I mean, I'm talking about the what the words mean side. Mm-hmm. Like, I could write them down on a piece of paper. No one has to sing them. So it's just the emotion of the person receiving. And that's, you know, that's the thing is there's some people that can listen to music and it doesn't matter what it sounds like. you know, it just matters what it says. And then there's some people that it only matters what it sounds. I think that's the majority of people. It only matters what it sounds like.
I have, and then either type of listening.
I try to listen to both. And I think that really the words are much more important than the sound, except for, of course, we're never going to hear the words because we're going to turn off the radio if it sounds crappy. So there's your double-edged sword, Shred Kelly.
Yeah.
It's got to sound good, and I got to like what you mean.
They did good on that.
I think they did a really great job. And that's another thing with
some artists, not every song has to have a deep, profound meaning. Like if it's a club song about just, you know, having a great time and everything, I don't need to have a life-changing experience with it. And so that's another thing. You've got to know what you're listening to so that you don't listen to a fun pop bubblegum 12-year-old, you know, audience song if you want to
be moved.
If you want to be moved.
Why
so
not?
Well, if that's what moves you,
if you're a 12-year-old and you want to be moved.
But yeah, so
if they can do it,
know yourself enough and know your music you're listening to enough to know, okay, I shouldn't be taking this so seriously and analytical because they're just having fun. Or the other way around, this is really deep and poetic, you know?
I think this was deep poetic music myself.
You can have moving without it being deep poetic type. There's other types of moving, if I remember correctly.
Like dancing?
It's not quite what I was talking about, but whatever.
I think he's talking about libido moving.
No, not that either.
Yeah, well, that is another type. That is another type. Trust
me. We're just guessing.
Hobby Lobby. Whoa. Okay. You went somewhere
guy
else.
With the Hobby Lobby thing.
We're going with other Hobby places. Lobby thing. I don't know.
Mexican pseudo wrestler.
We no longer endorse what is being said.
The Mexican pseudo wrestler guys.
Yeah.
The what? What?
Yeah, that's Home Depot, not Hobby Lobby.
Home Depot.
Are they talking about bum fighting?
No, it was a spoof.
It was a band we reviewed a while back.
I would say moving. They were moving for the comedy style.
For the comedy aspect.
I really love comedy music.
Style would have
that's something that is really hard.
Each style probably has their own moving type.
That's probably got to be the hardest.
Bo Burnham?
Exactly. That's got to be the hardest type of music to me. I was actually listening to Bo Burnham today, actually.
Heck yeah.
Well, I had seen he was on Parks and Recreation, which now that I have cable, I know it's a really old show, but I watch it because I'm like, this is the best ever. And I, you know, it's all in reruns now. But and Bo Burnham was on there and I was like, I got to listen to some of that guy's music again. Of course, by the time I'd ever even heard of him, he'd been around for years.
He's great. But, well, okay, anyway.
Let's get back to
what Logan was saying. That was the perfect example of comedic movement.
One of the songs I really enjoyed and what I really picked up on is Stereo. And it wasn't just the lyrics that was the main key part of it, but it was the male and female singer were singing in basically, they were harmonizing in stereo. So you had the two voices at the same time. So, the stereo is two channels. Well, there's two singers.
That was the one where I started getting bogged down on. Not that it's a bad song.
See, I liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
To be honest, I didn't like Stereo. That was of all the songs on the CD, it was my least favorite. And I don't know, maybe I was just having a political moment in my mind. But I just remember Stereo. Not that one.
But
the force was messing with me.
Yeah, it's not a terrible song. Like how Dad likes it, but we don't. You know, that just comes down to personal.
Yeah, that one that we didn't really care for. What were you saying, Logan?
Yeah. You just said you were up for failure there.
The one I didn't like the most, I think because it was a little bit slower beat, because I was used to the faster beat, was Move On. And it had a fairly long intro. So it was.
I think that's the one Logan's talking about that he really enjoyed. To me, I didn't even. Yeah, it was hard to distinguish where. Yeah, there's this. I know. I'm trying to gather my thoughts and
she's using hand signals, and I keep trying to tell her that people can't see that on the.
I know, but I can see it in my brain. Podcast. And I'm trying to translate it down. Okay.
She's not talking to the people. She's talking to her.
You always have the big build up, even if it's a small one, you know, with a ballad or something. But to me, it was very hard to distinguish where that was with that one.
Okay.
Why would you need a build up?
I don't know. It's just...
You don't necessarily have to, especially with slow songs.
I'm
you don't have to have
it
necessarily build up. It can be just straight through. But I think it was just the... when it was going through with such upbeat songs or faster beat songs, when we hit that one, it just kind of slowed it down a little bit for me. And I think that's why I kind of drug for me, and that's why I was like, oh, I won't. And then when the next song hit, it hit an upbeat again.
You got too used to the one sound, which is what I'm talking about.
No, that's good, though.
Yeah, that's good. That would be the link.
Diversity is a wonderful thing.
Exactly.
Sometimes, though, you know, diversity is a wonderful thing, but my wife took a bunch of M&Ms and a Three Musketeers bar.
That's disgusting. Just listen.
Yeah. Just she took all these different types of chocolate, like Hershey's Dark, and she melted them in the microwave, and she was going to make candy.
Dark chocolate.
And I was like, well, the M&Ms. Forget everything else. Like, the M&Ms, that candy shell, like, she let me try it. It was horrible. And I was like, you know, all the, you know, you could take a whole bunch of good things, you know, kittens and rainbows and like lovely kisses, and put them in the microwave and nuke them, and they're not going to taste good.
You know? They're not going to look good either.
But it didn't look good. It didn't look good.
But you know, there's that deal where it's nice like, where it's like
kisses, but what were the kittens?
But you know, there's that deal on the internet where it's like, You as a prank, you put in a bowl, you put a bag of M&Ms and Skittles and mix it up, you know, so they don't. And people are like, "That's terrible." I'm like, I don't want
to
try that.
I think,
like,
it would be pretty good too.
Like, to me, like, okay, that's weird, because to me, those are individual candies. Plus, like, what are you doing? Like, going to a party and reaching into like strange bowls of candy without looking? Like, the Skittles clearly say S. Thank you, Logan. And the M&Ms clearly say W. Yeah. So, I mean, like,
but they're small enough, and if you. And usually people don't pay attention to that.
Well, I have better vision than you, but
yeah, you do.
Plus, and this is the big thing, Skittles are like neon colors.
So
like
is
neon.
M&M's.
No, they're like solid like colors, yeah. And why are we talking about Skittles?
Started with diversity, and to me, this album had diversity.
I think it had a lot of diversity. I think that was.
I mean, you had your upbeat. You had. I think that's what. You had your backwoods country. Country feel. You
bluegrass.
I'm not saying they didn't move style wise. I'm saying they moved style wise, but mainly it was all heavy styled.
I guess I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me remind you of something.
I enjoyed it.
Diversity with a link. And I didn't notice the heavy things anyways. Of course.
I think what April was trying to say is that some of the music did get a bit heavy in a way that she didn't understand. She like felt that they were using too heavy of beats and basses.
Well,
and
it just became very expected. Which doesn't mean the song itself is bad, but for me, when you play something that closely related, not that they were the exact same, but they're closely related, right one after another, to me it gets a little bogged down.
I enjoyed it, so I had fun with it. I thought it was smooth sailing all the way through, except for the one hiccup for me. I enjoyed it. You can go to their website, shredkelly.com. Most of their music is downloadable. You cannot purchase physical albums, but you can pick up the three albums plus bring them all down. I'm not sure what the other two albums really sound like. I didn't take time to listen to those, so I apologize for that. But this album itself, I can recommend. I'd say, you know, a country town that's into a lot of the country and the folkish type stuff.
You're a hipster,
I think
you'd like it.
Any hipsters, yeah. Definitely goes in your collection.
This is one that, you know, if the library doesn't do electronic format, they'll be out. But personal collections, I can see a lot of this being downloaded in the personal collections. Mm-hmm. And it's upbeat enough that I think it'll be well received by everybody. And I think if that's going to be it for tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
We appreciate Zoe Brown of the Music Box again for letting us have the listen to Sing to the Night by Shred Kelly. So we do appreciate that. Go out and check out their website and download their albums. Also, if you're interested, you can send us an email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, and we'll read it on the air. We enjoy getting the feedback. So if you want to do that, that'd be more than welcome as well.
Did you say our outro song?
Not yet. So again, we'll be leaving off with Shred Kelly's from their album Sing to the Night with My Vessel, My Grave. So everybody out there, hope you've been having fun listening to us. We've been having fun here. Mm-hmm. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.